Okay, so today's daf is Psachim daf Nun Aleph, and we are now in the bottom of daf Nun Amud Beis, the second to last line. Okay, so the Gemara says the following: Bnei Chozai, so the Nagu the Mafrish Chala Me Aroza. So these people, the city of Chozai, they had the custom they would separate challah from dough that's made from rice. They had this stringency. Obviously, you only have to separate it from the 5 grains. Asuv Amr Leila Rav Yosef Amr Lahu Nechla Zar Bapayu. They told this to Rav Yosef about this custom. And he said to them, a person who's not a Kohen can eat the challah in front of them. Because from that, he will teach them that you don't separate challah from dough made of rice. That because challah that's given to the Kohen is given to the Kohen and non-Kohen can eat it. And if a non-Kohen eats it, it's clear that this is not doesn't have the status of challah. So Eisvei Abaye Dvar Mutar V'Acherim Nagu Bohem Iser. But Abaye asked Rabbi Yosef, how can you do this? Let's say there is something that's permitted, and others treated as Iser, as something forbidden. You're not allowed to permit it in front of them. So how can you have a non-Kohen eat the challah in front of these people? Amar lo. No. He said, Rav Chista said this only applies to kutim, that you can't permit it in front of them. And Bnei Chozai are not kutim, and therefore you're allowed to permit in front of them that which some, they treated as Isser, so that you can eat this, non-Kohanim can eat this challah. This, well, it's not really challah, this separation from rice dough. Kutoy my time. What's the reason that you're not allowed to permit kutim, that which they engaged, what the, if they started a minhag to aser something, to forbid something? Mishum demasochim milsa. Because if we allow them, then they're going to continue their path to be lenient, and then they will come to be mezalzel, they'll denigrate even things that are aser from mikra din. In other words, if I, let's say you take on a chumrah, right? And so, and I say, okay, say Mark takes on a chumrah, and then Dov says to him, and I tell Dov, you can eat this food in front of Mark because it's really permitted, it's Mark's chumrah. So Dov is a firm guy, and he's not going to start saying, oh, now that I allowed him to do this, I'm going to now eat some forbidden food. But a kuti, if he sees me allowing, if I tell the kuti he can eat this food that Mark has taken on a chumrah to be strict, then the kuti will stop. Will continue to be more and more lenient.
Rabbi, who's a kuti?
Who's a kuti?
Yeah.
Nowadays, I don't know if there's a kuti nowadays.
Now, who were they? Who
The
were they?
oh, sorry, the kuti were people who they were part of the population exchange after the destruction of, sorry, after the exile of Malchus Yisrael. From Eretz Yisrael, from the Northern Kingdom, about 140 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Assyrian leadership, Assyrian king, engaged in population exchange. They kicked out the Northern Kingdom, and they had others come there instead of them. And the Navi talks about how the lions ate them up or attacked them because they weren't observing halacha. And then they started sort of believing in God. Not so clear if they fully gave up Avodah Zarah or not. And there's a this, their disputed stat their this, their status is disputed in the Gemara, so whether they're Geri Arayas or Geri Emes, whether they're real converts or not.
Thank you.
Okay, so Halach et Chidavi Sarche. So also these people of Chozai, since they're not Tabiri Chachamim, we're also concerned that they might engage in they might also be lenient in situations that are also be ikar hadin. So we're back to our question. El Ravashi Chazir and Ibu, but always Achli, if the majority of the people of Chazai eat rice from they don't have this chumrah of challah by rice, lo nechla zar bapayu. So then a non-kohen should not eat in front of them the dough that was separated from rice. Del mishtacha toras challah midahu. Because maybe the concept of challah will be forgotten. Because maybe they'll say, oh, there's no concept of challah at all. There's no concept of challah from rice. There's no concept of challah from the five grains. Because, you know, if everyone's doing it, if the entire city is separating rice cakes, and then you tell them, oh, you don't have to, you can eat this, so they're going to think, oh, the halach of chal doesn't apply at all. Viruba dagarachli, but most people eat a grain from the five grains and not from rice. So nechle zarba pyro, then you can have a non-kohen can eat chala from them. Why? Because you can tell them that rice, there's no din of chala. And then if we don't permit the non-kohen to eat it, then maybe they'll make a mistake and they're going to think that rice is really chayiv in afreshes chala. And they're going to separate, So then what are they going to do? They're going to separate, let's say they bake, rice cake and a whole wheat cake together, or rice bread and whole wheat bread together. So they're going to separate real challah from the whole wheat bread to the wheat bread from the rice. Umina p'tur al-achiyuv, but they're going to separate rice from wheat. And obviously that's not good. That's tevel. Because you can't really do that. So therefore, in a situation, again, where everyone basically in the community is eating rice. And then continue separating it so you don't forget the concept of afreshes challah. But the majority of people, for the most part, eat dagon grain. So then you're allowed to tell them the halacha that not kohanim can eat, do not have to separate challah from rice. Gufa, divar mutarim. So things that are permitted and others treated as iser, you're not allowed to permit in front of them. So the Gemara explains, we're only discussing kutim that they don't, that we don't permit in front of them because of the reason that we explained. So b'chuli amalo, is that really true that for others we don't? But tanya rochtim shnei achim ke'achad. Rice says you're allowed to wash in a bathhouse two brothers together, and we're not concerned about pritzus, about engaging in inappropriate behavior because they're going to see each other unclothed. We're not concerned when it comes to two brothers, and we don't bathe two brothers in a kavul, in a place that's called a kavul. So So what's a kavul? I think Gemara is gonna. It's a place. It's a certain place. So
it's like a town or something.
Yeah, it's like a makom. It's a place. So there's a story with Yehuda and Hillel, children of Ram Gamliel, that they did bathe together in this town. The laws alim kol medina, they all spread lashon hara about them. Amru miyamein l'arilu kach. So we never saw two brothers bathing together. And Nishman Hillel v'yotzel l'bayis achitzon, and Hillel went out to the outer bathhouse so he wouldn't bathe together with his brother. V'lo etzal lomar lohem mutar matem, because Hillel did not want to say to them that it's permitted, because in other words, because of the halacha that dvar mutarim. If something is permitted, but the town treats it as iser, you're not allowed to permit it in front of them. So, we're gonna explain the question. We're gonna finish the brisa though. Yotzi be kur de kisod. You can go out to Rishus Rabim with wide shoes b'Shabbos on Shabbos, and we're not concerned that you're gonna remove the shoes and it'll fall from your feet, or whatever. It'll be removed from you, and then you're gonna carry it. Then yotzi be kur de kisod b'Shabbos b'birei. But the people of Birei, they don't typically go out on Shabbos with wide shoes because they treat it as they have a minhag to forbid it. And Yehuda and Hillel, they went to this town and they went out with these wide shoes, and everyone said, "Oh my gosh, look at them! They're going out with these shoes." Ushmatum, and they removed it from their feet. They gave it to their slaves. They didn't want to say that, it's permitted to you, and since it's permitted to you, because they felt that since this town treated it as forbidden, so then they should also forbid it to them. So, v'yoshim al safsalei nachri b'Shabbos.
Raisa says that you're allowed to sit on Shabbos on benches that the non-Jews sell for business. And we're not concerned that they're going to think that the one who's sitting on it, that he does business on Shabbos. They didn't Yoshio and Safse Nachim Mishas Bako. But in Akko, they didn't sit on these benches on Shabbos. But my side, and you guessed it, Ram Shim Gamliel, oh, but it's a different one. Ram Shim Gamliel, she Yoshio and Safse Nachim Mishas Bako, Vlaza Kolo Komdin, Ramu Miyame Lorim Kach. Apparently he sat down on one of these benches on Shabbos, and everyone said, oh my gosh, he's doing business. We never saw someone to do that. Nishma Vyosho Gabikaka, he left the bench and he sat on the ground. He didn't want to tell them that you're permitted for all these three reasons. So we see from what do we see from these three stories? That even people who are not Kutim, if there is a town where they're in a place where people have a certain stringency, so you're not allowed to be lenient in front of them. So that goes against Rav Chisda, who says that you're allowed to, and the only stringency is when it comes to Kutim. So B'nai Medina Nami came in low Shrichi Rabbanan Grabayhu Kutim Dabim. So our answer is that with Kutim, we don't permit it in front of them. And also, the people of the Medina, the province, since they're not, in these towns, there aren't a lot of Tamiri Chachamim. There aren't a lot of scholars. So they're considered like Kutim, because since they don't learn, and it's not a place of Torah, and if we allow it, they're gonna say, oh, obviously, no halacha applies, right? In other words, they're unfortunately going to confuse halacha with minhag, halacha with chumrah, and they're going to think that, oh, once you're violating this, once this great rabbi is violating this chumrah, they're going to think it's a halacha, so they're going to think maybe other associated rules don't apply either, because it's similar to the chumrah. They're not going to appreciate that there's only a chumrah, not a halacha. So Bishlam Asaf say, Dachim Shu the Mechze Kameka Kameka. I understand when it comes to the benches. You don't sit on the benches on Shabbos of the non-Jews because it seems like you're doing business on Shabbos. But Kodi Kisa Nami, Dema Mishtalfi, Vasi Lesu, Yudhim, Arab, Shu Sarabim. Sorry. But when it comes to the wide shoes on Shabbos, we understand why they don't go out because we're concerned. They're going to remove them and they're going to walk 4 amos in Rishu Sarabim. Ella, however, Rochatzim, but the custom, the two brothers shouldn't bathe together. By Tavala, what's the reason that you can't do it? There's no concern of Isser. Kidatanya, it's like the reasons like what we said in the Brisa. Ima kol adam rochets chutz me aviv v'chamiv. A person can bathe with everyone in a bathhouse except for his father. And so that's not, because the person realizes that he comes from his father's, comes from his father, and when he sees his father in that place where he comes from, so that can lead to improper thoughts. V'chaviv, also with his father-in-law, because he's gonna also think about his wife who came from him, and he's gonna come to inappropriate thoughts. V'bal imo balachoso. And also with the husband of his wife and the husband of his sister. So also there's concern here of thoughts of sin. Rabbi Huda Matir Ba'aviv, and they covered Aviv. Rabbi Huda says you're allowed to bathe with your father because you serve your father in the bathhouse. We'll deal about Imo, same thing with the husband of his wife. The husband of his mother, not the husband of his wife, apologies. Baal Imo, the husband of his mother. That before says Baal Imo is the husband of his mother. The also inho the gods of Bishnei Achim and the people of Kavol, they made a decree with two brothers that they shouldn't bathe together. Mishum Balachoso, Xera because of Balachoso, of inappropriate thoughts. Tanu Tamid Chacham Tamid Lo Yirchatim Rabo Vim Rabo Tzarich Lo Mutar. Also, student should not bathe with his Rebbe because he should be embarrassed for the cover of his Rebbe. But if his Rebbe needs some help in the bathhouse, and he's allowed to bathe with him. Okay, now the Torah forbids to eat forbidden fats of the behema tahora that's brought on the Mizbeach. So that chelev, you can't eat.
Excuse me, Rabbi?
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. Is this the only place where the minhag of a place is discussed in the Gemara, or is it? It seems like a very hot topic, and it seems very short.
Yeah, there's a Gemara in Chulin also, which talks about it, and there's more. We're going to talk more about minhagim now. We're not done with it.
Okay. Good.
Okay. So when it comes to the limbs of the court, then there's also like the they have the limbs of the korban shlamim. So there is a debate in Maseches Chulin that the question is what type of chalev is forbidden. Okay, there are different types of chalev. There's what's called the chalev de akashasa and the chalev de ayatasa. So there are different types of fats, and there's a debate which is forbidden, which is not forbidden. Okay, so some people had the custom and they followed Rabbi Akiva, who had one view, and he permits what's called the Chelev Hayaser, Daisara, that's the Chelev Hayaser, it's a certain type of fat. There's like the outer fat and there's the inner fat. So there's some followed Rabbi Akiva who said that this outer fat is forbidden, and some followed Rabbi Shmuel who said Rabbi Akiva said it's permitted, and Rabbi Shmuel said it's forbidden. So Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Rechana going from Eretz to Bavel, and he eats this chalev hayaser, this outer fat. He asked the Rabbi Rechana achal daisra, that he ate this type of fat that's on the stomach. That's the lining of the stomach, and Ula Gabe Rabba Vira Saba Rabba Reid Rafuna, and Rabba Vira Saba Rabba Reid Rafchana came in the Chazinu Kaisi Minayu. Once they saw him, they covered the fat from them. He covered the fat for them, so they wouldn't see that he's eating it. Because in Bavel, they didn't eat this fat. Asiv Amrle Labai, they told Abai what happened. Amalahu Shavin Chokikutoi. He treated you like kutim, because he basically said that you only don't have to publicly be machmir, you only publicly don't have to be strict when you're in front of kutim. The Rav Barachana leis leid hadit na nosim alav chumri amakum shiatsim isham chumri amakum shinahalag l'sham. Yeah, but there's another halacha, and halacha is this is what we found in our Mishnah, that you treat the stringencies of where you came from and where you're going to. So since the custom where he was going to did not eat this fat, so then you should have followed their custom and not to eat it. So the Gemara says that Amar Abaye Hari Mili Mi Bavel LeBavel Ume Eretz Yisrael LeEretz Yisrael says that when we say that you have to follow the stringencies where you go to, that's only if you go from one town in Bavel to another town in Bavel, or from one town in Eretz Yisrael to another town of Eretz Yisrael. That since the judges of one town are not bound to the judges of another town. So if there is a, so if, so there's a concern of machlokes. So if I change the custom, let's say I come from my town to your town and I change the custom, so that's going to cause machlokes in the community. Inami mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael. Or if I come from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, then certainly I should not change. Why? Because B'nai Bavel is subservient to Eretz Yisrael. Why is that? Because the judges of Eretz Yisrael had real smicha, because but the smicha doesn't only apply to Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz La'aretz we don't have official smicha, and therefore, for example, the judge of Eretz Yisrael, they could judge dinei kenasos, penalty matters, but not or punitive damages, but not the judges of Bavel. So to go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So they were concerned that, Eretz Yisrael is a higher level. So how are you challenged? You're going to cause machlokas. You're going to challenge
the rulings of Eretz Yisrael. That's not appropriate. So, Aval be'Eretz Yisrael above'el, lo. But you don't have to follow, if you're going from Eretz Yisrael above'el, you don't have to follow the stringencies of Bavel. Keva da anan kaifidin lahu. Since the Bnei Bavel are deferential to Bnei Eretz Yisrael, when they're Yisrael, they sanctify the new month and their ma'aber of the year, and they have smicha, therefore they can judge punitive cases. And the judges above don't have smicha, they can't judge dinei kenasos. Of dinum kavasahu, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, they come to Bavel, follow their customs of Eretz Yisrael, and we're not concerned it's going to cause machlokes because they are not deferential to they're not deferential. It's not going to lead to machlokes because they know that the bubble is deferential to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Ashi Amar afilu tema me Eretz Yisrael lebavel. Rav Ashi says no. Even if you say that, even if you go from Eretz Yisrael lebavel, you can't change the custom. Honey mili. It's only when it's not your intent to return to the original place. Rabbi Rachana, who ate this controversial fat, datalachsor hava, and he was intending to return to Eretz Yisrael, so therefore you didn't have to follow the custom of Bavel. So, by the way, the Sfasemis explains that according to Abaye, who holds that every Isser, that you can't change is only because of machlokes, and therefore if you're going from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, so that you could follow Eretz Yisrael, because it's not going to lead to machlokes, because everyone knows there are two, that's, you know, that Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael, they have a superior customs. But Rav Ashi holds that's not the purpose of, that's not the reason, not because of machlokes, but he's just saying that meikar hadin, you have to follow the custom of your place that you go to. But that's only when you don't have intent to return. So you're like if you don't intend to return, you're like the person of the place where you're at. But if you intend to return, then like you're Ben Eretz Yisrael, and you don't have to follow the minhagim of Bavel. So it's a question of how we view why you can't why you have to follow the custom where you are. Amale Rabba Barbar Chana Libre. So Rabba Rachana said to his son, Vini, my son, Lo Tocha Lo Bafanai Velo Shelo Bafanai. Don't eat this controversial fat in front of me and not in front of me. Ani shereisis Rav Yochanan she'achal kedai hu Rav Yochanan lismachalav b'farav shelo b'farav. I saw Rav Yochanan that he ate this controversial fat, so he followed this from his svara and his understanding. So you can rely on him, whether you're in front of him, whether you're not in front of him. Atala reisal so lo tochal be b'fanai bein shelo b'farai. But you never saw him do this, so you can't rely on him. So that's a difficult question. So what, you know, was he not an appropriate, witness in order to do that? So that's a difficult question. So one second. So he explained that even if someone, even if someone reaches a level of hora'ah, of teaching, he doesn't have the power to teach only if someone can sort of analyze his reasoning and his svara. But if you can't, then you can't follow that hora'ah. So therefore, even though Rabbi Rachon himself was a baal hora'ah, he was someone who could teach, but apparently, Rabbi Bar Chana was allowed to ask Rav Yochanan, his Rebbe, about the halacha, how he should accord himself. And when he allowed it, so then somehow he got the power in order to follow Rav Yochanan. But his son, who never saw Rav Yochanan, so apparently this was not Lamaisa. So his father didn't feel comfortable, I guess, paskening for his son, but he was allowed himself to rely on Rav Yochanan. That's a discussion. It's a little difficult. But the Gemara now wants to bring that Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so now we have another case where Rabbi Akiva held that svichim are forbidden bachila to be eaten from the Torah after the time of Bior. So svichim are these aftergrowths during Shemitah. that these growths, they grow, the crops grow by themselves. They didn't plant, they grew by themselves. So he held you can't eat them after the Zman Beer. So Zman Beer is when that type of crop is not found with the wild animals in the field. So the question is, did the Chachamim make this decree of, so Svichei Kruv are of cabbage, are permitted from the Torah, they're not like other Svichim, and the question is, are they forbidden midrabanan or not at all? Okay, so that's like, so the Gemara wants to say, Upliga didei adidei. So this opinion that Rav Rechana said contradicts what he said by himself. And we're going to see, Rav Rechana sachli Rav Yochanan ben Elazar. Rav Yochanan ben Elazar told me, Pabachas nifnasi achar Rav Shim ben Rav Yossi ben Lokonya Lagina. So one time I followed Rav Shim ben Rav Yossi ben Lokonya to the garden. Uvenatal. So he took these aftergrowth, these leaves of cabbage that grew on Shemitah. They weren't planted by anyone, they just grew. Va'achal, and he ate. And this is after the time of Beor, when it wasn't found in the fields. V'nasan li, and he gave from these aftergrowths to me, va'amar li, and he said to me, B'ni b'fanai echol shelo b'fanai lo tocha. You can eat them in front of me, but not in front of me, don't eat it. Anisha Reese of Shimba Yachai Sha'achal, Kedai, who of Shimba Yachai, Lismo Chalaba Farab, Shloba Farab, Ata, the Farai Echol, Shloba Farai Lotochal. So he said, you can eat in front of me because I heard the psak from Shimba Yachai that you can eat it. So you can eat it in front of me, but since you never heard the psak from Shimba Yachai himself, or you didn't see that he ate it, so you can't eat it not in front of me. So here we see a little bit of contradiction of Rav Rechana, that when it comes to Rav Yochanan ben Elazar, he said that if there is a, even if you saw a custom of a heter from someone who is not roi, right here, here in this case, he allowed you to rely on someone who had a minog heter. Not in front of the person, right? Who heard the person who heard who saw Rav Shimon Yochai engage in this minog heter? So he allowed him to engage in this practice in front of him. But when it came to the previous case with this fat, so then he did not allow it. So it seemingly is a stira. So the Gemara now wants to clarify this.
Rabbi, yeah. Doesn't this contradict the whole concept of Mesorah?
Right, so this, I think, was a case of, it's not really a Mesorah, but it's more of, you saw someone practice a minhag who's not fit to rule on the matter. So I don't know if it's a Mesorah in terms of halacha. It's more of a, like a Mesorah in terms of minhag. And somehow, if the minhag is to be forbidden, if the minhag is, there's a minhag isser in this place. There's a minhag isser in this place. And then there was this rabbi who allowed it, but he didn't really give the svara to you, and therefore there's no one after that, right? There's no one after it to sort of continue that Mesorah. Apparently when it came to Minhag, there was no one afterwards to continue the Mesorah, so that I think is what they're debating about here. It's a little difficult. Like, why apparently for Minhag it seems that we're a little strict. For Minhag, you need someone who is a Roy Lahoros Bedavar. So, my Rabbi Shimon, where do we find the Rabbi Shimon holds that Svichei Kruv are permitted? The time of Shimon Omer calls Svichei Masur, all greens that grew by themselves in Shemitah, they're forbidden from the time of Beer and onwards. Chutz mi Svichei Kruv, except for these growths of cabbage, Ein Kayotzi Bahem Beyer Kasadeh. Because they're not like other greens in the field that they remain during all the winter months. So there's no Zman Bir. V'chachabi Obrim Kol Asfichi Basurim. All Seichim are forbidden, even Sfichi Kruv. V'tavayu Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. And they both opinions follow Rabbi Akiva. Yitanya, Hein lo Nizra v'lo Nesav es Tfilosenu. The Pasuk says, if you say, well, we're eating in the seventh year, nothing grew, how, you know, and how we can't gather our grain. And Amar Rav Akiva, v'chi me'achash ein zorin me'hechan osvim. What, if they're not, why did it say, hein lo nizra v'lo nesof? Well, obviously, if it didn't plant, how are they going to gather? Mikan l'svichim she'im asurim. So what are they saying? That we didn't plant and we didn't gather. So what are we not gathering? So obviously, there's a Torah prohibition to gather what? Svichim. These are crops that grew, even that were not planted. And they're forbidden even after Zman HaBir. So Gemara clarifies, B'mai kamiflagi, what's the nature of their debate? But on Savri, goes, read in Svichei Kruv, Atu Shar Svichei Dalba. The Svichei Kruv that grew in Shemitah are forbidden because of other Svichim. Rav Shimon, some of Shimon holds, Lo goes, read on Svichei Kruv, Atu Svichei Dalba. And Shimon says, no, we don't need to make a gzera from one to the other. Okay, so the Gemara now, the Mishnah says, HaHolech B'makom. So the Mishnah says, if you go from a place where they do Malachah Erev Pesach until Chatzos to a place where they don't, or vice versa. So you shouldn't change the Minhag HaMakom. So Gemara says, Bishlama HaHolech B'makom She'osin LaMakom She'ein Osin. I understand when it says that you can't change because of a Machlokes. This is understood only when this makes sense if you go from a place where they do malacha to a place where they don't do malacha. So no sinu love chumi makom shehalach l'sham. So if I usually do malacha on Erev Pesach and I go to a place where they don't do malacha on Erev Pesach, so then we say that we're strict. You don't do malacha. Al yishan al mibnei machlokas v'olei avad. I shouldn't change based on, I don't want to cause machlokas, so I should not do work to follow minhag makom. Ella, imakom she'ein osim, lemakom she'osim, al yishana adim ne'amachlokas v'navid. So, I understand. He says that if you're going from a place that does work, that doesn't do work, to a place that does work, so what does that mean? You shouldn't change because of machlokas, and you should do work. So, ha'amrat, nosim alav, chumim makom she'halach l'sham, v'chumim makom she'yatzim l'sham, says that there's an inconsistency. On the one, it says, don't cause machlokas. So if you don't cause machlokas, what should you do? You should do work on there because you want to show everyone you're not following any chumrah. You're doing what the minhag does. But at the same time, it says you should follow the stringency of the place from where you came. So this seems to be inconsistent. Amar Abaye Areisha. This statement of Al Yishara Adim Bnei Machlokas, that's only the reason of the first part of the Mishnah, where it says if you go from a place where you do malacha to a place where you don't do malacha, so really, Meikar Hadin, you're really allowed to do malacha. But you shouldn't do malacha because of you don't want to cause machlokas in the place. However, in the Seifa, the second half of the Mishnah, if you go from a place where you don't do malacha to a place where you do malacha, so then you continue like your previous minhag. Because Meikar Hadin, it is forbidden for you to do malacha. So Rava says, no, lo lama seifa, that really, that which we say don't change because the machlokas is referring to the seifa. V'achi kamar, ein bazu mipnei shinoi hamachlokas. You have to read it differently. Why are you allowed to change the minhag HaMakom and not to do malacha? Is because here, when you don't do malacha, you're not, it's that you not doing malacha is not going to lead to machlokas. Right? Why? Demai kamrat haroa omer malacha asura kama batlani havi bishuka. In other words, let's say I come from a place where they don't do malacha on Erev Pesach, and now I come to your town, and you see me, and you see that I'm not doing malacha on Erev Pesach. What are they going to say? They're going to say, "Oh, look at me! I'm so frum. I'm not doing malacha." No, they're going to see that. There are many people don't do malacha. You go to the marketplace, many people are not doing malacha. So maybe, I'm not doing it from a halachic perspective, No one's going to know that I'm doing it from a halachic perspective, and I'm not causing machlokas by not doing malacha. In other words, if I go from a place where I do malacha to a place where they don't do malacha, and I start doing malacha, people are going to say, "Oh my gosh, he's causing machlokas. He's, you know, this place is machmir and he's trying to be mekel." So that's causing machlokas by doing malacha. But by not doing malacha, you go to a place who knows that that's the reason why you're not doing malacha. That's because from a halachic standpoint. So that's why he's saying that in that case, you follow the custom where you, the stringency where you came from. Okay, I'm going to stop here. And.